I bet that some of you can name that play from just those two words. A Streetcar Named Desire is one of the most iconic works in American theater, immortalized in countless stage productions and the famous 1951 movie starring Marlon Brando. The Everyman Theater in Baltimore has chosen to finish their 25th anniversary season with a production of this enduring masterpiece. But as the great philosopher and TV mystic Ron Popeil used to say, but wait, there's more. Everyman has paired Tennessee Williams' iconic classic with another work that looms equally large in the panoply of American thespian achievement, Arthur Miller's poignant and powerful drama, Death of a Salesman. Both plays are currently in repertory at Everyman, performed by the same cast, a cast that sometimes performs both plays on the same day. So what do Stanley Kowalski and Willie Lomax have in common? What bonds do Streetcar and Salesman share? Let's ask the two stage directors who share the bond of having worked together at the Everyman Theater on several occasions. Vincent Lancisi joins me in the studio. He's the founder and artistic director of the Everyman Theater in Baltimore and the director of their current production of Death of a Salesman. Derek Goldman joins us on the phone from Washington. He's the artistic director of the Davis Performing Arts Center and a professor of theater at Georgetown University. He has directed Everyman's current production of A Streetcar Named Desire. Good morning and welcome to you guys. Good to talk to you both.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Tom. Nice to be here.
So, Vinny, let me start with you. I understand this is the first time that these two iconic classics have been paired together. What made you take that leap?
You know, it's funny. We were looking for sort of extraordinary projects to do to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Everyman. And when I was sort of ruminating about throwing our theater its birthday party all season long, I thought, what do you want to do that's outside of the box, that's bigger than life, that what do you really want to celebrate? What are some of the things that Everyman does really well? And a lot of people love the way we treat modern classics, the way we value sort of the great writers and great stories. And I thought, you know, how can we as a resident company really do something special with incredible plays and do a special rep? And I was thinking rep modern comedies, and I started thinking, what are the most famous modern classics? Not comedies, but modern classics. And those two, Death of a Salesman and Streetcar Named Desire, are always number one and two on the list.
They'd be on everybody's list.
They'd be on everybody's list. Yeah. And then I started looking up, when was the last time they were in Baltimore? And, you know, the original tour, right, 1950 or 48, I think it was, came through Ford's Theater across the street from where Everyman is, a Streetcar. That's the last time Streetcar was done in Baltimore.
Wow. So it's been more than 50 years.
And Center
years.
Stage, yeah. 1972, did Salesman. So yeah, that's, you know, 50 years ago. So
are there actual commonalities between the two plays, and does that matter?
You know, there are a lot more than I realized when I selected the two plays. When we started digging into, you know, comparing them. Yeah, there are. I mean, you know, the two iconic characters, well, there's more than two, but from each play, Willie Loman arrives in the play with his suitcase, his valise of, you know, the clothing that he sells and his suitcase, laden down with the burden of the world. And Blanche DuBois enters New Orleans visiting her sister with all her belongings in her suitcase. And these two characters sort of fighting with illusion and reality and what they think life owes them for all the hard work that they've endured, that loss of the American dream sort of permeates both plays and trickles down to all of the rest of the characters involved in each play.
Yeah, and thematically, they definitely are connected. I need to correct myself. I think I called him Willie Lomax. I meant to say Willie Loman.
We were with him.
There you go. You know what I was talking about. And Derek Goldman, how about these two authors, these two playwrights, Tennessee Williams and Arthur Miller? Are there commonalities between them? They seem to be on completely opposite sides of the spectrum artistically.
Yeah, on the surface, I think that's true. We think of them very differently in terms of their biographies and what their work represents. But it's interesting that they were fans and admirers of each other. In fact, Miller pens what is the introduction to the New Directions version of Streetcar Named Desire and talks about his intense admiration and even the kind of transformative experience he has watching the Kazan's production of Streetcar in terms of the poetic landscape of it, the poetic intensity of it. And so I think one of the richnesses of having and working on the two plays side by side, they are more than the sum of their parts, I think, in Rep. We see real differences in terms of a stripped-down, spare world of Brooklyn and the world of Willie Loman's mind and the lushness and musicality of New Orleans and the sensuousness of that. But at core, in both plays, the concerns of both playwrights, I think, around the promise of the American dream, the things in both plays that feel so near you could reach out and touch, the sense of possibility, of potential, of beauty, of life gone right, and the way that luck, chance, a bad turn, a moment of human weakness, sexuality can, the sort of can turn everything into, in the case of both plays, a sort of darker spiral. So I think that one of the experiences for me in working on both of them was reappreciating how their greatness, the greatness of each playwright, are aligned with each other and in dialogue with each other.
It's Marilyn Morning. I'm Tom Hall. On the phone with us from Washington, Derek Goldman. He's the director of A Streetcar Named Desire, currently at the Everyman Theater. The founder and artistic director of the Everyman, Vincent Lancisi, joins me in the studio. He's directed their production of Death of a Salesman. So, Vinny, I wonder if we learn anything new then. It sounds like we do. About each play when they are juxtaposed like this. Curators at museums put particular paintings and pieces of sculpture next to each other. And folks in my business, when we do a record, we're very careful about the order of the songs on the CD, although the whole downloading thing one at a time sort of blows that up. But we think about it at least. What have you learned about each play because you're dealing with them in toto together?
That's a great question. You know, it becomes immediately apparent. You're not in the theater for 5 minutes before you realize why either playwright is the genius that they are and what they've made possible. I mean, they were really ahead of their time when they were writing. And today, when you read it, it's as if they wrote these plays today. I mean, these issues are very prescient. We recognize these people. We all have relatives or friends or even ourselves have faced retirement in the face without the appropriate savings that's needed to sort of, you know, wonder what the future is going to bring, even though we worked hard all our lives to get there.
Yeah, I was at Salesman last night. It did not seem one bit dated. It's
no
really
way. I mean, you know, we show these to our high school matinee kids, Baltimore City school students, and they are in it, fighting with Willie every step of the way. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Streetcar. You know, when you meet Stanley Kowalski, who's this hardworking average Joe who, you know, is just trying to do the right thing and get through his day and have a little fun at the same time as all of that hard work. Well, he sees through a lot of hypocrisy in life. And what turns out, what looks to be this sort of rough-hewn brute at the top of the play turns out to be the wisest, somehow smart character. Also, you look at, from a Williams, at least experiencing Streetcar, it's hot, it's sexy, it's smart, it's funny, it's rich, and
sure.
He's got the heat of New Orleans all through that play, and it's the new world and everything that it was supposed to be, good and bad.
Sure, and Derek, I'm just really intrigued to hear you say to talk about working on these two plays. I mean, you were directing Streetcar, Vinny was directing Death of a Salesman, but did in either of your rehearsal processes, well, in your rehearsal process, Derek, did it include trying to overtly demonstrate the commonalities between the two themes? Were you part of the rehearsal process for Death of a Salesman as well as the one you're doing?
Yeah, it didn't include trying overtly to to shoehorn anything differently in than I think that we would have been doing if we had just been focused on Streetcar. But I think by the very virtue of the fact that the creative teams and particularly the actors were moving between both processes, and that both plays were sort of in the DNA and the bloodstream of the building for a period of 10 weeks as we rehearsed them and longer in pre-production, I think the resonances, even among the echoes, moments that are sort of like, you know, hit me in the stomach, you know, hit me hard, you know, sort of moments that rippled outwards, I think we all were very aware that we were entwined in an experience in which these two great plays were in dialogue, and that we were shaping an experience for an audience that we hoped would experience them side by side and in relationship to each other. So it wasn't a conscious process. Our production of Streetcar, I don't think, is has anything that we sort of that is different specifically because we were trying to pay homage to Salesman or to force that in there. But I think there are all kinds of places where the fact that we were, you know, that Biff and Happy from Salesman were coming into my rehearsals as Stanley and Mitch for Streetcar, they were carrying it in their bones, some of those echoes.
You know, Tom, you asked why I selected these two plays, and a big part of it, too, is that we like to think of the actors at Everyman as master transformers, that they transform on a regular basis into different characters, and we thought, how can we take our resident company and say, okay, here are two different plays, completely different worlds, and let our audiences get the extra added layer of watching each actor play perhaps a really large role of a certain character type in one play and maybe a smaller supporting role of a completely different character. I mean, I've heard audience members like sort of guffaw with discovery that, you know, somebody that they saw in a smaller role in one play was actually a well-known actor from our company.
And that's at the fundament of what a resident company is. Every man is a resident company. You have this core of actors. You don't job in different people for each show. You basically have the same core of actors that has to transform itself every time. And this one, there are days when they do both plays on the same day.
20 days.
That's incredible. I mean, because one of them, you know, the Salesman runs 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Right.
And Streetcar is more than 3 hours. You know, right. So for audiences, one of the first things that struck me about this, if you choose one of those Saturdays to go and see a matinee and an evening of both, it's kind of like binge watching House of Cards.
That's right. I mean,
it's the same thing. I mean, Derek, in terms of the technique that these actors have to employ in order to get through a grueling day like that. Do you practice that? Do you rehearse it? I mean, these are professionals. These are obviously people who can do a lot of different things. But it's one thing to do a performance of Streetcar, you know, on a day, but it's a whole other thing to do a performance of Streetcar and Death of a Salesman.
Yeah, I have so much awe and admiration for what I mean, you know, I've always felt that for actors as good as the actors in the Everyman company, but the bar was raised on this, and they've been amazing. But what I think is also true is that the richness of these plays and the sense of detail and these roles are such catnip to actors that there is a kind of adrenaline of truth that they're not exhausted by it because there's a sort of sense that they're at the they're at the top of their game, the top of their craft, challenged by this writing. And one of the most gratifying things to hear, actually, from people who've experienced both productions, and is how quickly they seem to move. And of course, some of that is something we were conscious of in trying to find the drive or the engine of them. But people, I don't think, are feeling like they're, you know, sitting through a heavy, exhausting, tragic day. I think there's a sort of life force, a musicality, an energy through the day that's actually quite celebratory in its own way. These plays have real, you know, they grab you by the throat. They have real attack. So
yeah,
I think
I hear the opposite. I hear people getting to the end of the play saying, "I didn't want to leave," especially in Salesman, but really in both that those worlds are so sort of fulfilling and rich and. And you, when it's over, you don't quite know what to do with yourself.
And, you know, in this world of Twitter and 140 characters, you know, you're not shying away. These are substantial works,
right.
You know, around 3 hours of real, you know, brilliant writing. I mean, last night, First Act of Salesman, you know, when Linda Lohman, Willie's wife, says, attention must be paid.
Yeah.
You really, it's kind of like To Be or Not to Be. I mean, these have become iconic moments in the theater, and you hear it and you think, my Lord, we are in the presence of genius.
That's right. I mean, we've been walking around like having religious experiences in the rehearsal halls at Everyman, because you do feel like you're in that kind of presence. I mean, this isn't good writing. This is great writing. And it requires Herculean actors to totally transform. I mean, you can't just half-heartedly play Blanche DuBois.
Yeah.
You
right.
have to enter the world of crazy and make sense of it for our audiences.
Yeah.
It's an incredible journey.
Yeah, and Derek, as a playwright and collaborator on many productions that you put together in D.C. and elsewhere, you do a lot of these things, you know, as a group. You have, you know, people, you start with an idea, you don't even start with a script, and you create these things. What do you think contemporary playwrights learn about contemporary theater from these two geniuses in these two terrific plays?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I think it's one thing to read them and even to experience them as an audience member. It's another thing to work on them and be working moment to moment and detail to detail and realize, and I certainly had this experience with Streetcar, how every single detail, how the clothes come off in a scene and a new outfit gets put on,
yeah.
all of the props, the fights, the intricacy of it, all that happens in those two rooms, basically, in that small apartment, how perfectly constructed by a young Tennessee Williams writing that play.
And we're going to have to call it a day there, but I really do appreciate the work that both of you guys are doing. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Vincent Lancisi is the founder and artistic director of the Everyman Theater. He's also the director of their current production of Death of a Salesman. Derek Goldman, the artistic director of the Davis Performing Arts Center and professor of theater at Georgetown University. He has directed Streetcar Named Desire. Got to go see him, folks. Check out the details on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Coming up a little later, Charisse Achimpom is this year's winner of the Poetry Out Loud competition in Maryland. She's headed to the National Poetry Out Loud competition on Monday. She stops by Maryland Morning this morning. But first, here's Gil Sandler with this week's Baltimore story.